Okay, today we're going to continue. We're on Chulin Tevav. We're going to continue at the bottom of Yudal and Amabet. We're going to continue with our Mishnah, which said, Hashochei b'Shabbat b'Yom HaKippurim, top of Yudalid. Somebody chefs on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, af al pisha mitchayev b'nafsho, even though in theory he should get the death penalty, which sounds like it's mazib. We're going to see today that maybe really it's shogeg, right? We offer four different options about what exactly it's talking about. One was along the lines, it was shogeg. A few were on the along the lines, it was mazid. Shchitato k'shera b'dieved, the shchita is good. In other words, he did it anyway. The shchita is good. Came Rav and said, or they said in the name of Rav, that you can't eat it that day. Came the other people that were around and said, well, when he said that, he must have been talking according to Rabbi Yehuda. And now the whole question is, which opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? We tried two yesterday and were unsuccessful. Today we're going to see some more. Okay. Ela Amar Rav Sheshet, five lines from the bottom. Ela Amar Rav Sheshet Bereid Rav Idi. Rabbi Yehuda Din Neiroti. It must be Rabbi Yehuda of candles. Okay, what's the Rabbi Yehuda Shita about candles? More muktzah stuff. Titania mitaltalim ner chadash avalo yashan divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So they assume what he meant was you can be mitaltel a new candle. What's a candle? Not a candle like we use a candle. A holder that you use for oil to light. Okay, one of these, it's usually made out of cheres, clay. And I always think of the kids in Ghana always used to come home with these type of candles made out of clay where you have a little thing.
You put might be able to imagine calling it a lamp here.
A lamp. Okay, it could be a lamp.
It might be a clearer mental picture.
Well, again, a lamp nowadays you think
of. No, but
of
you can think of an oil lamp.
Right, an oil lamp, yeah. Exactly. So what's the issue with a new one or an old one? So a new one is in good shape. An old one is disgusting. It has all the oil on it and it's gross. Nobody wants to touch it. This is what we call muktzah machma mius. So now that we're going to say, you like that term? Okay. Something that's disgusting, it's pretty high level of muktzah because nobody wants to touch anything that's disgusting, so therefore you can't move it because why would anyone want to come in contact with it? Right. It's true. Right. It sounds like in those days they didn't. So anyway, you can move a new one but not an old one, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So that must be the same thing here. And now the Gemara says, wait. Here, what's the issue? The issue is, it's muktzah because, just like there, you would never come touch it because it's disgusting. Here, you would never come to touch it because it's usur to shech the animal on Shabbos. So you'd never come to move the animal because, right, the animal is useless, basically. So now they're going to say no. But imor deshamat le'ed Rabbi Yehuda, but muktzah machmat mius. Muktzah machmat isur mishamat le'ed, but that's muktzah machmat mius. Because it's disgusting. Here it's not muktzah because the animal's disgusting. It's not the same category. You can't call it muktzah machmat mius. It's muktzah machmat isur. Okay? It's muktzah because it's forbidden to shech the animal. And therefore, you wouldn't use the animal. So now that it's shechted, right, it was already designated from before Shabbat. So now, so they're saying muktzah machmat mius mishamale, right? Does he hold that that's a problem? So then they say, in fact, he does hold that muktzah machmat isur is a problem. Okay. However, we're going to now change the neirot. It's not neirot because they were maus. Okay. It's not the same kind of category as muktzah machmat mius. It's a different category. Ditnan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol neirot shel matechet. Okay. Now, matechet, the assumption is they don't get disgusting. Okay. So now, what's the issue with neirot that are put in a metal utensil? Mitaltalin, you can actually carry them. Chutzmin, and here's the one exception, and that's the issue of Neirot. You can see that they got confused between which Neirot. Neirot that are muktzah machmat mius, or Neirot that are muktzah, we're going to see machmat isur. Chutzmin haner shedliku bo ba'ota Shabbat. If you light candles, I don't know if you know this, but when you light your candles before Shabbat, and then you leave them, you can't move them on Shabbat. Why can't you move them on Shabbat? Because when Shabbat started, you couldn't move them because when they're lit, you're not allowed to move them because what? Because you might blow them out accidentally. So since when Shabbat starts, you can't move them because they're lit, even once they burn out, you're still not allowed to move them. And that's, we have this whole concept of things that when Shabbat started were muktzeh, they were set aside, you weren't going to touch them because you couldn't. The whole Shabbat, they're going to be muktzah.
So same concept sort of as nolad, you know, whether it existed at the moment Shabbat started.
Right. It's similar in the sense thing, that the moment of Shabbat, when the moment of Shabbat starts, also like Tumim, Kone Shvita. You're Kone Shvita at the moment Shabbat started, right, in that place. So, Kol Ne'erot Shel Matechem Metaltzim Chutz Manei Sheligo Ba'Ba'ato Shabbat. So then they say, Anyo. And therefore, that's exactly like the animal, because the animal, when Shabbat started, it was set aside. You weren't going to use it on Shabbat because it wasn't shechted. Okay, and therefore, the moment Shabbat starts is what's koveh. The fact that now it's shechted doesn't help you. So now they say, wait a minute. Maybe there's a difference between these two cases. Because Dilma Shane Hatam Dehu Dache Le Biyadayim. In the case of the candles, you lit it. When you lit it before Shabbat, you basically said, I'm not going to use these candles now, I'm not going to be able to move them for the rest of Shabbat because they're set aside. With the animal, you just didn't do anything to the animal. In other words, it was a lack of shechting it. You hadn't shechted it before Shabbat, but you didn't do any act whatsoever to set it aside. So therefore, the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says these Nerot of Matechet are problematic if you lit them that Shabbat, that's different from the Shechita case. And there, right, it's just an animal that's done, you happen not to shecht it because you didn't actually dache le biyadayim. So therefore, that's not a good answer. Ella, self, we're going to get to our answer. So that was attempt number three. Ella Amarav Ashi, Rabbi Yehuda de Mevashel hi. It's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion about cooking, and this is what came up yesterday, right, about this issue of if somebody cooks on Shabbat, okay, somebody prepares food for you, now it's going to exactly match, we'll see the case that we're talking about. Hamavashel b'Shabbat, there's a three-way machloket, if you remember this, okay, Ditnan, it's a Mishnah. Okay, actually, no, they say it's a Braita. It should be a Braita. It's not a Mishnah. But here it comes. We've seen this a bunch of times already. You can see in the Masoret HaShas that it's quoted in a number of different places in Shas. Because it's a very basic sugya. Hamivashel b'Shabbat, b'shogeg yochal, b'mezid lo yochal, or lo ye'achel. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir's shita is, if you cook accidentally, you cook something on Shabbat, so then it can be eaten. Even on Shabbat, it sounds like. B'mezid, you can't eat it. Okay, if you cook something b'mezid, you can't eat it. The assumption here is you can't eat it on Shabbat. That's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'shogeg ye'achel b'motzei Shabbat. Okay, if you did it b'shogeg, you can eat it on motzei Shabbat. B'mezid, lo ye'achel olamit. If you did it intentionally, you can never eat. An item that was intentionally cooked by a Jew on Shabbat can never be eaten. Rabbi Yochanan HaSanlar Omer, b'shogeg ye'achel l'motzei Shabbat la'acherim v'lo lo. If you did it b'shogeg, you can never benefit from this food, even though it was shogeg. It's more machmir, right? Each opinion is a little more machmir than the first one. I charted this out on the sheet. But others can eat it b'motzei Shabbat. And if it was done b'mezid, lo ye'achel olamit, lo lo v'lo la'acherim. Nobody can do this. Now, what's the assumption right now? If we're trying to find the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, where have we found it? Okay, you can look. The one that's underlined and highlighted. I'll explain later why I underlined some and highlighted some. So what does it say here? Ye'achel l'motzei Shabbat. So that's exactly like the shochet. Okay? So someone who's shochet b'Shabbat is just like a mevashel b'Shabbat. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, can only be eaten on motzei Shabbat. So there you have it. So now what would you have to say? You'd have to say that the Mishnah is talking about a case of shogeg. Because look, on the chart, Rabbi Yehuda said that only in a shogeg case. An amazing case, he said you can never eat it, which would mean hashochet on Shabbos, intentionally, you can never eat the animal. Okay? If we're going to go with this, that's what you would have to say. So the Mishnah is talking about a shogeg case according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, if you notice, I underlined two other opinions here, Rabbi Meir when it comes to mezid, and Rabbi Yochanan HaSanlar when it comes to shogeg, where both of them say that it can't be eaten today, but it can be eaten b'motzei Shabbat. So now the Gemara is going to say, when the rabbi saw that Rav said that you can't eat it today, why did they assume that it was Rabbi Yehuda and shogeg? Why didn't they say it was Rabbi Meir and mezid, or Rabbi Yochanan HaSanlar and shogeg? Why did they come right away and say, this is Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, when it could have been someone else's shita. So we're going to start with the question of Rabbi Meir. V'lukma v'nukma b'meziv Rabbi Meir. Right? Why don't we say then it was done b'mezid and it's Rabbi Meir's shita, which is if it's done b'mezid, you can't eat it today, but you could eat it b'mosei Shabbat. So they say lo salkadatach. It doesn't seem that the Mishnah is mezid. Why? Dekatane. And then if it would be mezid, right? It would be right. Lo salkadatach is mezid in Rabbi Meir. Why? Dekatane jumia di yom kippurim. Because it gives two cases. What are the cases? You shechted it on Shabbat and you shechted it on Yom Kippur. Now, my Yom Kippurim, now in Yom Kippurim, can you eat that shechted meat? Not if it's shogeg, not if it's mezid, because it's Yom Kippur. So of course you can't eat it. So now they're going to say, well, since on Yom Kippur, lo shna b'shogeg, v'lo shna b'mezid, lo achil, you can't eat it in either case. Even what we really want to say is, even if it's shogeg, you can't eat it on Yom Kippur. Then av hachanami lo shna b'shogeg, lo shna b'mezid, lo achil. And now, if you look at Rabbi Yehuda, this is why I highlighted both, because even though Rabbi Yehuda says if it's mezid, you can never eat it, but the point is that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't think this could ever be eaten on Shabbat, okay? Whether shogeg or mezid, and the Mishnah says right, you can't eat it. That's again according to Rabbi Rav, the Mishnah is saying you can't eat it on Shabbat, you can eat Motei Shabbat, but the main thing the Rav is saying is you can't eat it on Shabbat. So now, it's not exactly Loshna Shogeg, Loshna Mezid, because Mezid would be a little different, you wouldn't be able to eat it ever, but the point is that even B'Shogeg, you can't eat it. So therefore, we assume that the Mishnah was talking even B'Shogeg, you can't eat it because Yom Kippur is there, and Yom Kippur, you can't eat Shogeg or Mezid. And this is like what we just did the other day, where we said, if two cases are in the Mishnah, Bein Bayom, Bein Balayla, we saw that yesterday. We're going to assume that they're similar, okay? It's not the most convincing argument, but it's an argument. Okay. Umi matzit mukma la b'shogeg, the Rabbi Yehuda. Right, so now we're going to say, how could you say this is Rabbi Yehuda and shogeg? What's the problem with saying shogeg? We mentioned this yesterday when we learned the Mishnah and suggested maybe it's shogeg. What's the problem? What does the Mishnah say? V'ha'af al pisha mitchayev b'nafsho katane. It says, even though the person who did it gets the death penalty, right, he should be killed, still you can eat his shchita, right? But if you say it's shogeg, he's not mitchayev v'nafsho, so you have a problem. So now what did they answer? Hachi kamar. This is what the Mishnah meant, and we suggested this yesterday. Af al pi de b'mezid mitchayev v'nafsho hu, hacha de b'shogeg shchitato k'shera. Okay, so now they say what it means is, even though, that's what I said yesterday, in theory you could, from doing this act, one could get to be mitchayev v'nafsho, even though in this case he wasn't because he did it b'shogeg, but since it's something so severe that if you were to have done it b'mezid, he'd get mitah, still, we're going to allow it to be eaten if he did it b'shogeg. Okay? Fine. So that's a kvetch, but again, it could be explained. So now that they have, okay, I said we were going to get to this. Now that we have that it's clearly shogeg, we want to have a case that also works with shogeg because of the similarity to Yom Kippurim, which can never be eaten, whether shogeg mezid. So we want to say it's shogeg. Well, then fine. It can't be Rabbi Meir because Rabbi Meir says you can eat it with shogeg. Okay, this is why I have the chart. It's easy to follow. But it could be Rabbi Yochanan Asan Lar, who says that it can be eaten Lamotze Shabbat. Now notice, though, he says it can be eaten for Motze Shabbat. La'cherim v'lo lo. Okay, that's where we're going to go with this. But anyway, right now they're going to suggest benukma ki Rabbi Yochanan Sanlar de amar lo shna b'shogeg lo shna b'mezid lo achil. Now it's not exactly true, but right, they're saying across the board he says it can't be eaten on Shabbat. Okay, right? Obviously he distinguishes between shogeg and mezid. But that's why again I highlighted. What I highlighted here are all the possible options. As I underlined specifically the one that's you can't eat it except on Shabbat, but you can eat it Motzei Shabbat, I underline. But even with the more machmir opinions that you can't eat it all, still they forbid eating it. Right? It's true they forbid it even longer, but right, they do forbid it on Shabbat, even more than that, but at least on Shabbat. So now we're going to say, right, because he said no matter what, shogeg or mezid lo achil, which would match the Yom Kippurim. So they answer, Rabbi Yochanan Asanar kamaflig b'motzei Shabbat la'acherim v'lo lo. And that he distinguishes between acherim and lo, and that's not what Rav said. Okay? And therefore, right, because Tana Didan, the Tana of our Mishnah said, Shchita tok shera katane, lo shana lo, velo shana la'achirim. Right? The Tana of our Mishnah seemed to imply, after Shabbat, in others, again, according to Rav's interpretation, that it's only shera after Shabbat, didn't distinguish between lo and achirim, and that's why it doesn't match the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler. Tane Tana Kamedurav. Now, we're going to have a case where a Tana brought a Braita. So that's basically, that's until now, what have we done? We've established that the Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Hamevashel B'Shabbat, right? Which is kind of what we thought when we first, right? If you would have had to intuitively guess what sheet of Rabbi Yehuda were we talking about, it, you know, what came into our minds right away was this issue of if someone cooks for you, right? That's why, as Naomi was pointing out yesterday, right, that you can't, what did you say? You can't go to...
You can't eat popcorn at movie theaters,
but Moshe Shabbat, because in Israel, because a Jew prepared it on Shabbat, and therefore, right, it can't be eaten. The truth is, right, if this is according to Rabbi Yehuda, right, what would he say? You can't ever eat it if you don't know, right, then you'd have to figure out at what point can we be sure that the popcorn wasn't prepared on Shabbat. It's Sunday, Monday, right? I don't know how fresh they make their popcorn. Depends how good the popcorn is, right? If it's really good, then you got to assume that it was made fresh. Okay. But that's the whole issue in general with places that are not Shomrei Shabbat. Right? In other words, at what point can you assume that the food isn't from Shabbat? Okay. So now, so that was all to establish the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Now we have a person who brings a braita before Rav, and he quotes this braita, and Rav doesn't like it. And we're going to have to figure out why. So he says, Hamevashel b'Shabbat b'shogeg yochal b'mezid lo yach, or I don't know if it's yachel, I'd probably say both, b'shogeg yachel b'mezid lo yachel. Okay, if it's mezid, it can't be eaten. Mashtikle. So shogeg, it can be eaten. Mezid, it can't be eaten. Mashtik le Rav. And Rav silenced him. Okay? Sounds like Rav got very angry and said, don't speak these words in my Beit Midrash. Right? Okay, so now the question is, my time a mashtik le. Okay? Why did he silence him? So now we can look at the second chart on the page and we're going to see. They're going to give one answer, they're going to knock it out. They're going to give another answer, they're going to try to knock it out, but then they're going to kind of bring it back and say, no, we can actually answer that. And there'll be a little back and forth. Okay. If you want to say, because he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and what did Rabbi Yehuda say? Right? Beshoge, you can't eat it. Right? Beshoge, you have to eat it b'motzei Shabbat. And b'mezi lo yachel means, right? Sorry, one second. Right. And b'mezi lo yachel, that's basically Rabbi Meir Shita. Right? Shoge yachel, mezi lo yachel. So if you want to say he's silencing him because Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, like we saw, and he doesn't hold like Rabbi Meir. So, Ilem Mishum Disfir like Rabbi Yehuda, Vitane Tanaka Rabbi Meir, and the person who brought the bride to was holding like Rabbi Meir. Mishum Disfir like Rabbi Yehuda, Mantane, Mishum Disfir like Rabbi Yehuda, just because Rav held like Rabbi Yehuda, Man Ditanaka Rabbi Meir, Mashtikle. Someone who holds like Rabbi Meir, you're going to silence him. In other words, usually you silence someone when they make a terrible mistake. But to say he holds like Rabbi Meir, who, you know, in his own right was a big Talmid Chacham, to say that this person quoted a braita in the name of Rabbi Meir, and Rav is going to say, shh, don't say that, seems a little odd, right? Ve'od, and secondly, mi sever laki Rabbi Yehuda. What makes us think that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda? Now, here we're going to, even though we just said Rav held like Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to learn something interesting about Rav. The Harav Chanan Bar Ami said, okay, Rav Chanan Bar Ami said about Rav's Derech HaPsak, okay, how did he pask in Halacha? Ki mori le, this is a very interesting distinction he makes about Rav. Ki mori lehu Rav le Talmide, mori lehu ki Rabbi Meir. When he taught his students, he taught like Rabbi Meir, who was more Mekel. But kidarish bepirka, but when he darshin to the sibur, to the rabbim, okay, he makes a difference, distinction between his talmidim, talmidei chachamim, and to the general populace. So kidarish bepirka, darish ki Rabbi Yehuda mishuma meha'aretz. He was more machmir like Rabbi Yehuda because he was worried that if we start saying, like Rabbi Meir, that if you did it b'shogeg, you can eat it on Shabbat, then the Amei Haaretz will take this as, oh, it's not such a big deal to cook on Shabbat, and they'll take it, right? This is when you're paschening sometimes, right? There's different approaches, and maybe it depends on the situation. Sometimes, if you're more machmir, you're going to kind of make it harder for people. On the other hand, sometimes if you're more mekel, people are going to be mizalzel, they're going to take it not so seriously. And here he was concerned that if they said, well, if you did it b'shogeg, you can eat it on Shabbat, then they might come to do it b'mezid, okay? Or they might come to take food that was cooked b'mezid and eat it on Shabbat, okay? And therefore, when it came to teaching the rabbim, the public, he said, I'm going to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Which shows what? Which shows that even he held like Rabbi Meir, because when he taught it to his students, he held like Rabbi Meir. So if someone comes into the Beit Midrash and teaches like, or someone comes somewhere, we don't know where he was standing before Rav, it could have been in public, which we'll get to in a minute, but even Rav himself, at least to his students, held like Rabbi Meir, so why would he silence this guy who brought this braita like Rabbi Meir? The chitev, and if you want to say, Tana b'pirkei, Tana Kame, that maybe when the Tana came and brought this, it was in front of everybody that Rav was teaching, and because of that, he silenced him because he didn't want people to think that that was the case. Atu kuleama latana tsaite, le'em mora tsaite. It was a very interesting line. If Rav is there teaching to the public, and a student comes and quotes a braita that maybe goes against what Rav is saying to everybody, what, you think everyone's going to listen to the student? Of course they're going to listen to Rav. He's the teacher. So it's not like, just because that student came up and brought some braita that contradicted what he said, it's not like everyone was going to learn from there and assume. Okay? He could just very simply say, that's Rabbi Meir, what you're quoting, and we hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and end of story. So there was no reason for him to get up and silence him. So therefore, it can't be what we simply thought, which was, the Tana brought this braita like Rabbi Meir, and Rav held like Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why he silenced him. It just doesn't make sense. So, second answer. I'm Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. Tana shochet, Tana kame. The Tana who brought this braita brought it about a shochet and not about a mevashel. It's a different case. It was ha-shochet b'shabbat, right? If you look, it says ha-mevashel b'shabbat in our version. But now they're saying, no, you messed it up. He said, actually, someone who shochet b'shabbat, b'shogeg yochal b'mezid lo yochal. So now, what's the difference? De'rav, ha-shochet b'shabbat b'shogeg yachal b'mezid lo yachal. I'm sorry, Tanakh made de'rav. This is what he said. Ha-shochet b'shabbat b'shogeg yachal b'mezid lo yachal. And here comes Rav's reaction. Amarlei, my da'atech ki Rabbi Meir. You think what? This is Rabbi Meir, like in the Mevashel case? Ad kan lo kashari Rabbi Meir ela b'mevashel de ra'oi lachus aval shochei de ein ra'oi lachus lo. Ah, he says like this. You can't compare hashochet to a mevashel. You, and it's here comes this Tana. He gets up. He quotes this braita. He says hashochet b'shabbat b'shogeg yachel b'mezid lo yachel, which matches Rabbi Meir. Comes Rav and he quiets him and he says, but you're wrong. You misunderstood Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir only says it when it comes to cooking. Why? Because there's an additional issue. It's not just that someone did something in Isser, B'shogeg, or B'mezid. The question is, what was its status when Shabbat started? Was it Muktzah or not? When it comes to food, so if you cook food, well, the food was Ra'oy to be eaten before Shabbat, and now it's Ra'oy to be eaten on Shabbat. It's just a different type of food. It's cooked. But that means it's not, of course, a problem because you prepared it on Shabbat. But was it set aside? Was it additionally, does it have a muktzah issue? In other words, Rabbi Meir, when it comes to bishul, isn't so worried if you did it b'shogeg. He says you can eat it. However, and it's not muktzah, so therefore you're okay. Because number one, it was done b'shogeg. It was cooked b'shogeg, so we'll let you eat it. Number two, it wasn't muktzah. It wasn't set aside because it was ra'oy for eating. And now, let's say it was string beans, and now you cook them. So they were ra'oy as string beans before. They were ra'oy as string beans now. Obviously, there would be a distinction if it wasn't ra'oy for eating before, right? Raw, like there's certain things you can't eat raw. But okay, we'll get back to that. But when it comes to shchita, the animal, you set it aside before Shabbat. You assumed you weren't going to eat it on Shabbat again, whether you did it b'yadayim or you didn't do it b'yadayim. This assumes there's no distinction between, this goes back to what we said about the Neirot and Matecha, and this actually says they're similar. Because you didn't mean to, you weren't planning to eat it on Shabbat. So basically, it was assume that you weren't going to eat it. So therefore, it's muktzah according to Rabbi Meir. Okay. So now they say, what do you mean, though? V'hamatnitin deshochedu. Ba'amar Rav Huna Darash Rav Chia Bar Rav Mishmei Darav Asura Ba'achila Liyome B'nas Ben Chavrai Lameimar Rabbi Yehudahi Ha Rabbi Meir Share. But wait a minute, how could you possibly say that Rabbi Meir would forbid Shechita on Shabbat for that day because it's Muktzah? Then what Rav said about our Mishnah would also be according to Rabbi Meir. Remember, what did Rav say? It's true the Shechita is Kshira, but not today. Well, if Rabbi Meir holds, right, that even if it was done with Shoge, you could eat it, but you can't actually eat, right? That's if you cook something. But if it was Shechted, you can't because it was Muktz, it was set aside from Tchilat Shabbat. So Rabbi Meir would also, and the friends there that were standing around and heard him say, the Rav said that you can't eat it today, that would only be, they said, that's according to Rabbi Yehuda. But it would also be according to Rabbi Meir in Dinei Muktzah. Right? It would be Rabbi Yehuda in Dinei Bishul, but Rabbi Meir in Dinei Muktzah. So, that can't make any sense to say that. So they say, no, because Ki Shari Rabbi Meir, Ki Gon Shahayalo Cholemi Ba'od Yom. Okay, now we're going to say, 1 second, as I said this, Ha Rabbi Meir Shari. Right, sorry, I just want to say this a little better. What they say is, the student said it was Rabbi Yehudahi, which implies that Rabbi Meir would have matired. And we just proved that Rabbi Meir doesn't matir. So now they say no, because Rabbi Meir does matir. In which case, Kishari Rabbi Meir kigon shayalo cholemi ba'od yom. You'd have to say that the Mishnah, when he said that the Mishnah says Shechita Tok Shera, and Rav said that's only according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's talking about a case where there's no muktzah issue. What, when is there no muktzah issue? When you have a chole in the house. You have someone who's chole from before Shabbat, in which case you know, for pikuach nefesh purposes, if that chole is going to need food, you have this animal, you know that in theory you can shecht it on Shabbat, because for pikuach nefesh anything is allowed. So if there's a need, you're going to end up shechting that animal on Shabbat. So therefore, that animal wasn't muktzah from before Shabbat, right? It wasn't set aside from before Shabbat. And that's when Rabbi Meir said, this only matches Rabbi Yehuda and not Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir would matir in a case where there's no muktzah issue. Because, again, there's two issues, remember? There's one, something's done by Isur on Shabbat, and number two is the item muktzah. Was it set aside from before Shabbat? So if you say it's a cholam ibod yom, then it would only be, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that it would be forbidden for that day. Rabbi Meir would actually say, as long as you shechted a b'shogeg, it would be allowed on that day, because it does, number one, because he holds Hamiv Hashel b'Shabbat Yechel on that day b'Shogeg, and it's not a case of Muktzah. It wasn't set aside from before Shabbat because there was a Cholem Yibod Yom. So now they say, but wait, Ihachi my time of Rabbi Yehuda Da'asar. So then, why is Rabbi Yehuda forbidding this? If you shechted it, okay, the assumption is here, there's not even a problem, right? If you shechted it because, 1 second, right, because the animal wasn't muktzeh, it wasn't set aside, there was no problem, and you shechted it in theory, you could say you shechted it for the chole. So now they're saying, kigon shahaya lo chole v'hivri. There was a chole, but he got better. So when you shechted it, you weren't shechting it for the chole. And so the assumption is if you shechted it for the chole, then other people can eat it. Okay? At this point, what have we done? Just to clarify, we've taken this case of Hashochet b'Shabbat. We've changed the Braita to make it make sense. We said the Braita that the student brought really said Hashochet, and that's why Rav silenced him, because Rav said, it's true, you think it's like Rabbi Meir, like Mevashel, but it's not, because Rabbi Meir holds this extra Muktzah issue. And then we tried to question that and say, no, that's not really the case, because of Rabbi Meir, right? Sounded like from our Mishnah that Rabbi Meir is not, from the fact that they said it's Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Meir would be matir. And then they said, no. It's a case of Chol Mibod Yom, our Mishnah. And therefore they say, well, then why was Rabbi Yehuda Oster? And that's because the Chol already got better. Okay. Now we're going to prove, we're going to give like a chizuk for the second explanation that we have for this Braita that's Hashochet b'Shabbat b'Shogeg Yachel b'Meizu Lo Yachel, and that that's what he was talking about. So v'chihada amar Rav Acha bar'ada amar Rav. Okay, somebody said it in the name of Rav, either Rav Acha bar Ada or Rabbi Yitzchak bar Ada. Hashochet lechole b'Shabbat asur lebari. Hamavasher lechole b'Shabbat mutar labari. Here we have a distinction between if you shecht b'Shabbat for a chole, the bari can't eat it. Hamavasher mutar labari. And why is that? My taima, hai ra'oi lachus v'hai eino ra'oi lachus. Because shechting it, right, if you shecht for a chole b'Shabbat, now the assumption here is he wasn't chole from before Shabbat, okay? And it's a mukta issue, right? So this whole distinction between the mevashel is different from ha-shochet, the laws are going to be different because of mukta. But again, there's two issues going on here. One is someone did a melacha that's forbidden. Number two was the item mukta. So if you cooked it b'Shabbat, right, the item could have been eaten before Shabbat. So therefore, it's not mukta. If you shecht, the item couldn't have been eaten before Shabbat, and therefore it's mukta. So in this case, when you neutralize the malacha issue, because you're now doing the malacha in a way, it's not shogig or mezi, right? It's not it. It's mutar. You're allowed to cook for a chol on Shabbat. So let's say he cooks for a chol on Shabbat. Let's say I have someone sick in my house, and I cook up a pot of soup for them. Am I allowed to eat it? Right? Because it wasn't done by isur. It was done by heter. So now, since the ingredients of the soup could have been eaten yesterday, so I can eat it. Since if the animal though is shechted, I can't eat it. Okay? So that's the difference. But Amara Papa, okay, Pa'amim, by the way, I charted this at the very bottom of the sheet. Pa'amim shashochet mutar, and we're gonna see, and the mevashel is asur. How so? If you can neutralize the mukta issue for Shechita, and you can create a mukta issue for Mevashel, which I alluded to earlier, like, for example, Kigon Shayalo Chole Mibod Yom, right? If the Chole was sick from the day before, the animal wasn't mukta before Shabbat, because you assumed you might have to shecht it on Shabbat, then once you shecht it, so then the person can eat it. But Mevashel, right, as someone who's bari, a healthy person. But Mevashel Asur, in which case, Kigon Shekatzatz Lo Dalat. Okay, there's a machloka Rashi Tosfos on what this case is. One option is to say, you cut the dalat, it was mechubar lakarka. It was attached to the ground yesterday. So because it was mechubar lakarka, you can't, right? It was set aside from before Shabbat because you weren't planning to use it on Shabbat. And then you had a chole, you cut it on Shabbat. So because of that, it was set aside from before Shabbat. So again, it's mutar for the chole, but you're allowed to do anything for pikuach nefesh, but it's asur for anybody else because it was set aside from before Shabbat. Tosfot says, no, the issue is it was cut from before Shabbat. The issue is that it was raw. It's so hard, you can't eat it without cooking it. So because of that, he's going to say, that's the issue, that it wasn't ra'oi lachus. Ra'oi lachus means you could chew it, right? It's hard, but it could be chewed because it's not cooked, right? The assumption is once something's cooked, it's soft. When it's, okay? So anyway, you can find a case for the opposite in each case. I'm a Rav Dimi min Hardea. Rav Dimi now paskins. Hilchata, the halacha is, ha-shochet lecholeh b'Shabbat mutar labari ba'umtza. If you shecht an animal on Shabbat for a choleh, the bari, a healthy person, can eat it. Umtza means raw. It was the way they ate meat raw. My taima, kevan de'ief shar lekezayet basar below shechita. Because, right, think about an animal. You shecht an animal, it doesn't make a difference if you shecht it for one person or for 10 people. The same act is done whether, right, once the...
You can't shecht part
you
of
can't,
the
exactly. Ki kashachit ad'ata decholet kashachit, right? And therefore, so your whole intent was I'm going to shecht it for the choleh, and therefore it's mutar. But ha-mevashel lecholeh b'Shabbat, he's now adding a different issue we haven't come across yet. Asur lebari, you know this from Yom Tov. Gzera shema yarbeh b'shvilo, because you might, right, you might accidentally, or not accidentally, on purpose, sorry, you might intentionally add more to the pot, right? You're making a pot of soup. Well, we'll just make a big pot and then more people can eat. That's obviously going to be a problem because then you're actually cooking for other people. Now the question is, does Rav Dimi actually disagree with Rav? Because Rav said, if you remember, Ashchet l'cholev Shabbat asur labari, and Mevashel mutar labari, and Rav Dimi says the exact opposite. So some of the Farshim claim that Rav Dimi is talking about a case where you've neutralized the mukta issue by shechita. It would have to be where the chole was sick mi ba'od yom, and he's obviously agreeing with Rav about the shochet, and that it's asur labari. If it wasn't set aside before Shabbat, it would only be a case where the guy was chole from before Shabbat. Okay, most people think he actually agrees with Rav. And the Mevashel b'Shabbat, Rav says it's mutar, but he comes and says, well, there's this additional issue, I guess, that Rav didn't consider, which is Gzera Shema Yarbeh Bishvila. Okay, now we're going to get into utensils that one can use for Shchita. Okay, so I'm going to just open the Koran for a minute and show you some pictures. I'll pass it around. Okay, so you can see here, see the different implements. Okay, I'll pass it around. There's a machloke at Rashi and Rashba, what exactly a magal yad is. Okay, hashochep b'magal yad. Okay, we're going to see later, it seems to have two sides to it. One is flat side, one that's more jagged. Bitzur, with a rock. Ubikane, with a reed. Shchitatok shera. Okay, your shchita is okay. I see, by the way, in the Morot Afayomi, there's also pictures. I didn't look before, but I see there's a star. So if you want to look there, you can also look here. They show a magal yad here. It's flat on one side, smooth on one side, and has ridges on the other. It's a little different. Well, a bread knife on one side, but it's also sharp on the other side. It's kind of like a two-sided knife. Okay, there's a whole bunch of pictures. If you want to open that Morot HaFayomi, you can also see some pictures about it. Okay, but I think the Korean ones are sufficient. Actually look a little better. Okay, a magal is a sickle. That's why I think the picture in the Morot HaFayomi doesn't look as good, because the sickle is usually... sickle, you know, it's a rounded, it has semicircle shape. Okay, if you do it with a magal yad or a rock or a reed, a sharp reed, shchitatok shera. Okay, your shchita is okay, which sounds like only b'dieved. This is a bit of a problem, because if you remember, we already learned bakol shochatin, even a rock, even a kane, if you remember. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be weird, because that seems like lechatchil, and here it says b'dieved. Hakol shochatin, ula olam shochatin, ubakol shochatin. Okay, everyone can be shochet, ula olam shochatin. What does this mean? Uba kol shochatin? Right, the Gemara is going to get to this later, what all this means. Uba kol shochatin, and with everything. Chutz mi, these things can't be used. Mi magal katsir. One second. The magal yad. Yeah. Magal katsir, hamigera, vahashinayim, vatsiporin, mipnei shehen chonkin. Okay, a magal katsir, okay, the one they use, the real sickle they use for the katsira, a migera, which is a saw, shinayim, teeth of an animal, which we're going to see, like you kind of have the whole head of the animal and you have its teeth in it, right? It's not alive anymore, I believe, from what we're going to see. And it's siporin, and the nails of an animal, because they choke, which basically means they, if you remember, there was akira was one of the simanim, they basically kind of uproot, dig in, and it's not the proper shchit. Okay, so the Gemara starts out and says, Hashochet sounds like Dievet, Hashochet b'magal yad shchitatok shera. That sounds like Dievet in l'chatzchila lo. So bishlema magal yad. Magal yad, I understand why b'dievet. It's only good b'dievet, because dilma ata l'me'ava b'idach yisa. Maybe you'll use the wrong side. Okay, and it has one good side, one bad side. You know, one is smooth, one is jagged. You might use the jagged edge, and then it's a problem. So l'chatzchila, you shouldn't. But el atzur v'kane l'chatchila lo. But what about the tzur and kane? Rimini says in the, we already learned. B'kol shochatin, bein b'tzur, bein b'schuchi, bein b'krumit shel kane. And there it says, l'chatchila. Lo kashya, kam b'talush, kam b'mechubar. When it says l'chatchila, it means if they're detached from the ground. When it says b'dieved, it means they're attached to the ground. Now we're going to come up with all sorts of creative ways of shechting. Instead of taking the implement and putting it on the animal, you take the animal and move the animal over the implement while it's attached to the ground. Seems a little weird, but okay. Da'ama Rav Kahana, because we're going to see that Rav Kahana says, Hashochep b'mechubar lakarka, he talks about this issue, Rebbe posel v'Rabbi Yehuda machshir. What? Sorry, Rabbi Chiya machshir. So what do you see here? When it comes to mechubar lakarka, Rabbi Chiya says b'dieved it's okay. So this would have to match, our Mishnah would match Rabbi Chiya, who says it's only good b'dieved. So now they're going to say, wait a minute. So what, you want to say our Mishnah is ki Rabbi Chiya b'dieved, b'dieved. Ela, that doesn't make sense, because haditanya, there's a brayta that says, b'kol shochatin, bein b'talush, bein b'mechubar. Bein shasakin lamala v'tzavar behema lamata, right? Whether the knife is above and the you know the neck of the animal is below, or bein shasakin lamata, or whether the sakin is lamata v'tzavar behema lamala. Now this Mishnah seems to say, right? What happened? Let me just be very clear. Rav Kahana said, he assumed, when Rabbi Chia says machshir, what did he mean? Machshir b'di'eved, because machshir is usually, it's kasher, right? Like shechitato k'shera, b'di'eved. So he assumed it's b'di'eved. They say if Rabbi Chia is only machshir b'mechubar b'di'eved, then this braita that says, bakol shochatin, lechatchila, whether it's talush, whether it's chubar, whether the skin's lamala, tzavar lamata, whether skin lamata, tzavar lamala, mani, lo Rebbe, but lo Rabbi Chia. It doesn't match either opinion. Because according to this, Rebbe says it's usher no matter what. Rabbi Chia says it's mutar only b'di'evet. And this braita says it's mutar lechatchila. So it must be that Rabbi Chia says lechatchila. Because otherwise this braita matches no one. And if Rabbi Chia says lechatchila, then we're stuck again with who's the author of our Mishnah. If we said our Mishnah is talking about when it's mechubar, so Rabbi Chia says lechatchila it's good, and the Mishnah only says b'di'evet it's good. And Rebbe says it's no good, and our Mishnah says it is good b'di'evet, so it's going to match nobody. So e Rabbi, so again, this braita that we're quoting, e Rabbi Chia di'evet in lechatchila lo, and e Rebbe di'evet nami lo. So therefore, what do they say? No, le'olam Rabbi Chia va'afilu lechatchila. Okay, Rabbi Chia actually says it's lechatchila. V'hai dekamit legei b'di'avad. So why does our Mishnah say the case is b'di'avad? Right? So now we're going to say, l'hodiyacha kocho de Rebbe. They're going to say, only Rabbi Chia matirs, not our Mishnah, the Braita we quoted. When the Braita said, Rebbe posel Rabbi Chia machshir, they used the lashon of b'di'avad, even though Rabbi Chia really matirs, lechatchila, but they use the lashon of b'di'eved to say that Rebbe doesn't even machshir b'di'eved. He says even b'di'eved these things are no good. Now though we have to explain our Mishnah. Ela manitin dekatani ashochet d'eved in lechatchila lo mani lo Rebbe v'lo Rabbi Chia. If Rebbe says it's always bad and Rabbi Chia says it's always good, then our Mishnah doesn't match anybody again. So we're still stuck. So now what do they say? I Rabbi Chia afilu lechatchila v'Rebbe d'eved nami lo. So what do they answer? Lo olam Rabbi Chia. Bafilu lechatchila, umatnitin dekatane ashochet, Rebbe hi. So now they say, right, we're going to say it's Rabbi Chia, and even lechatchila, and the Mishnah, in other words, Rebbe, we're going to say Rabbi Chia holds, even lechatchila you can do it, and our Mishnah, where it says it's b'di'eved, which is going to make no sense, so don't worry, umatnitin dekatane ashochet is Rebbe hi. But then they say, no, that makes no sense. How could it be Rebbe? Rebbe said, right? Kasha Rebbe Adi Rebbe. You can't say Rebbe says Mutar B'Di'evet if Rebbe says he's Posel. So what do they answer? Now they're going to come up with a distinction. There's a Braita which says Rebbe is Posel across the board. Rabbi Chia is Machshir across the board. And then you have our Mishnah which says somebody says it's only B'Di'evet, right? So now we're going to say there are two different cases. Get this. Kam b'mechubar me'ikaro. Kam b'talushu levasof chibro. They're going to say there's a difference between something that's attached to the ground that was originally attached to the ground and something that you, and that's going to be our Mishnah, where it's only kasher b'di'eved, okay, versus something that was that you detached from the ground and then you put it back in the ground. And that we're going to say is mutar even lechatchila, according to Rabbi Chia. So we're going to say our Mishnah is Rabbi Chia. It's just that he distinguishes between Rechubar Meikaro and Talushu Levasov Chibro. We'll stop here, and then they're going to say, well, where do you come up that there's such a distinction? And we'll actually prove it tomorrow that there are those who distinguish between those two things.
What could be something that was Talushu Chibro?
So like a rock that was attached to, and there's a difference between a rock that's in a wall, okay? Let's say you.
Wait, aren't we talking about.
So mechubar is a rock or a reed. We're talking about those implements that they were talking about in the Mishnah that said, Hashochef magalya b'tzur b'kanesh chitato k'shera. So why is it b'di'eved? So you'd have to say that that's, okay, the things that were like a reed that was attached to the ground, you pulled it out of the ground and then you put it back in the ground. That's already less connected to the ground than if it was originally in the ground. That's what we're going to have to say. Okay, so we'll see, and I hope I said it right, that in the, I'm wrong, because it's Rebbe. We're actually saying this all goes according to Rebbe. And Rebbe, who's posel b'mechubar, I said it wrong, it's not Rebbe Chia. Rebbe, who's posel b'mechubar, is posel when it's mechubar me'ikaro. And when he says it's kasher b'di'eved, right, we said kasher Rebbe ad Rebbe, the Mishnah says b'di'eved, it's okay, is if it was attached, detached, and then attached again. There he would allow it b'di'eved. Okay, that's what you would say. So it's Rebbe. Okay, we'll get back to this tomorrow.